Boddy and I became Christians a while ago, down in Harlow, actually in Old Harlow, the bit that was there before the new town was built. And we used to go to St Mary's Church there. And we had a really lovely vicar when we first started there. His name, Robert Howarth. I actually had some teaching from him quite recently. He's still going in his late 80s. But Robert said something interesting to us. He said when he first came to St Mary's, people would come up to him and say to him, "Why do you keep talking about Jesus?" Now, I think what must have happened is that his predecessor and probably his predecessor's predecessor and so on had kind of done what I know a lot of preachers do, which is stand up here and try and tell you how to be a better person. That is often the content of sermons, isn't it? Now, I hesitate a lot before doing that for a number of reasons. One is it's very hard to know what really is better. We can judge ourselves, can't we? We can come up with ideas of how we could be better people. We can look at ourselves and we all know things about ourselves that we would like to correct. Or we can actually measure ourselves against someone else. We can say, "I would like to be just like that person." But the problem with that is that we're all flawed. We're measuring ourselves against a false standard, if you like. And the Bible is very clear. As Jesus said to this young man that came up to him, "No one is good but God alone." And of course we know that Jesus is God in human form. So he is the standard of goodness. And the only way I believe that we can really understand what it means to be a better person, to be a good person, is to measure ourselves against Jesus and against his life on earth. One of the reasons I believe that we read the Gospels every week, that we even take special note of it, we stand up to hear them, is because we want to hear about Jesus and his life on earth, because it tells us about how we should live. Jesus is God in human form, but he's also this perfect human being. He not only shows us what God is like, he shows us what it is possible for human beings to be like. If you like, he sets the gold standard for what it is to be a human being. And for human beings, we know in the natural, we're only complete in our relationship with each other. You know, as John Donne, I think, said, "No man is an island." And what he meant by that is that as human beings, we are incomplete without each other. Our completeness comes from our relationships with each other. And that's in the natural, but in the spiritual, our completeness comes in our relationship with God. And that's really what Jesus exemplifies. More than anything else, he talked about his Father and he talked about his relationship with his Father. And he told us how that was the kind of mainspring of his life. And when Jesus went back to heaven, remember in the Great Commission in Matthew's Gospel, right before he left planet Earth, he said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He's saying to us, as he related to the Father, so we can relate to him. So can you see why Robert, and why I think I do too, hopefully, is talk about Jesus, because it is much the best way for us as human beings to know what God requires of us, but how we can be what we were truly meant to be. Jesus really is the only complete human being that's ever existed. We see humanity in its completeness in his person, which is why it's so valuable to keep on reading the Gospels, because there we find his friends writing about what they observed of him. We find there what he is like. And one of the things we find too in the scriptures here, and it's rather interesting in that Hebrews reading that Janet read for us, is very interesting words there speaking about Jesus. The writer writes, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses." Now when he talks about the high priest, you know, the writer to the Hebrews says Jesus is our high priest. It's kind of an analogy with the high priest of the temple in Jesus's time. But he says Jesus is our high priest. So he says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. He's telling us there that Jesus in his life on earth was precisely like us. There was a heresy around in the first century called Docetism, and it comes from the Greek word which means to seem, to look like, to have the appearance of. And there were people around who kind of had problem with the idea that Jesus could actually die on the cross for us. God cannot die according to their way of thinking. And therefore they came up with this idea that Jesus wasn't really a human being, he just looked like one. He just behaved like one. He did enough to fool us, if you like, into believing, for his friends and his disciples to believe that he was a human being. But that really is a heresy. It's not right. And it's completely against the measure of what we read about in the New Testament. Jesus was fully human, just like you and me. Only his conception was different. From that point onwards, he developed and grew just as we all have too. Have grown. He started out as a baby. He grew into a boy. Interesting, when you read in Luke's gospel, there's a little passage, isn't there, about Jesus when he's about 12, when he gets left behind in Jerusalem. And I put actually what he said in the grapevine on the inside page, just under the hymn numbers. Jesus said to Joseph and Mary, why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? He was telling them that even at that stage, he'd come to the realization of who he was. But I'm sure it must have come to him gradually, because as human beings, we can't take too much on at once, can we? It's one of the values of coming week by week together in church, is that we can, if you like, slowly absorb what God has for us. We can't change instantly. That's just beyond human nature. So Jesus must have gradually come to the realization that he was the Son of God. But by the age of 12, he'd obviously got to that point that he had realized that Joseph was, if you like, his adopted father, his true father was in heaven. And then a bit later on, again, I put this in the grapevine, when Jesus was, when we came to the wedding at Cana, do you remember when Jesus turned water into wine? There's a very interesting interchange between Jesus and his mother. And it says there, when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come. Jesus seems to be holding back from doing anything about this problem of no more wine. And it says, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now, I believe what's going on there is that that God is actually speaking through Mary to Jesus. The Father, if you like, Jesus' Father is speaking through his mother to Jesus. And that must have happened all the way through his childhood. Jesus, as I said, was receiving revelation from the Father all the way through his life. But it must have come through Joseph and Mary and perhaps through other people. Certainly from the people he was speaking to when he was 12 years old at the temple. The Father was speaking through these people to Jesus. And that seems to be what's happening here. Mary is receiving, if you like, a message from God to say to Jesus, now is the time. It's time to get going. Start time to enter into your ministry. Time to do these things that we read about in the rest of the Gospels. And Jesus responded, as we know, by actually turning the water into wine. Now, what does this mean for us? If we say that Jesus was totally human when he was here on earth, that he was subject to the same weaknesses, as the writer to the Hebrews put it, to the same limitations, he was still finite as we are. What does that say to us? And if we see Jesus as our model, as the perfect human being, it helps us to realize that we can truly follow him, as he said, if we're willing to actually walk the same way that he did. So he walked in faith. He walked knowing that God loved him and would always be there for him. He walked knowing that whenever he needed to know things, he could pray, he could ask the Father, and he would receive the revelation that he needed. As he went forward, he knew the love of God for every single human being. So he could reach out with compassion, knowing that the Father would be there for him and that would help him to minister to people in the way that they needed to. Jesus really is our model, the only model that we need. We can look at the other great characters in the Bible and we can take a measure from them. We can be inspired by them. But they're all flawed. They're all really just like us. As it said in the book, writer to the Hebrews said, this man Jesus was without sin. He is the perfect human being. So as we live our lives out, as we seek to follow him, as he said, that command that he gave to the disciples and he gives to us is a real command to live our lives and model on his life, to be willing to actually step out in faith as he did, and to know the speaking of the Father through our hearts, through others, through circumstances, through the Bible, through the things that we share together, and through that still small voice within us, that sometimes through our conscience, sometimes directly. So let's continue, as we do, to read the Gospels and to get a more of a measure of Jesus and of his life on earth. Let's carry on seeking in to find out more about him and to get closer to him, to know that this really is the model for the human life, so that we can do as he said to this young man that came up to him. It was just one side point about the son, the young man. Do you remember what happened there? Jesus told him the Ten Commandments, and the young man said, "Yeah, I've kept all those since I was young." But then Jesus gave him a specific word of revelation to that young man. He was telling him what he personally needed to know, and Jesus obviously realized that this man, his problem was his wealth. That was what was keeping him from living the Christian life. So he actually said something really challenging to this man. Sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and come and follow me. Now that's not a command that we all need to take on board, because that was a very specific thing for this young man. I mean, what Jesus then went on to say about wealth is a general thing that we need to take on board. But that particular thing of selling all your possessions and following Jesus was obviously a particular revelation for that young man that he needed to know and he needed to take on board. I believe, and it's been my experience, that God gives each of us. He does speak to us for the things that we need to do. And we need to have those ears to hear and those hearts ready to respond. It's a sadness, isn't it? As we read here, that this young man decided not to do that. We might know all about him. He might be one of the apostles now, if he decided to make that choice that Jesus had given him. But sadly, he turned away. But for each of us, we need to listen out for that voice, that calling that God puts onto our hearts, whatever that may be, and be willing to do as Jesus said, to come and follow him. Amen.